Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy wherever they get their podcasts.
Delivering all the news, the informed views, and just telling great motorsport stories since 2003. Powered by theracetalk.com. This is On The Grid.
G'day everyone and welcome to another episode of On The Grid here on mypodcasthouse.com or on the Radio Show Limited's RS1. Thank you for joining us. Big show coming your way. Kai Allen to join us. Of course, he'll be driving a wildcard supercar at Bathurst with Simona Di Silvestro. We'll have a chat to Kai about that experience and also how he's been doing in the Super 2s this year as well. Richard Crowell, Mark Walker to wrap up what's been a fairly big week in sport. We find the supercars back on track at Sydney Motorsport Park this weekend and we'll preview that as well. All that to come right here on The Grid.
You're listening to the latest from around the motorsport world. On The Grid.
All right, joining me for a chat as he always does off the top of the program, Richard Crowell, have you packed your bags?
Tony Shebeki, yes, ready for Sydney Motorsport Park this weekend. Big weekend of racing, actually. It's a really good program in support category land. So put the supercars aside for the moment. You've got GT World Challenge running, S5000 open wheelers there. Big field of sprint challenge. The Utes are there and Toyota Gazoo 86 as well. So it's a bumper on-track product. And of course, supercars under lights on Saturday night as well, as always, good fun. So yeah, looking forward to it. It's going to be a good weekend.
Yeah, certainly is going to be a good weekend as we start to make our way now into endurance season. Not too far away, the Sandown 500, of course, the Bathurst 1000 coming up in the next couple of months. And an addition to the field for the Bathurst 1000 revealed today, Richard.
It was, and we spoke to this young man on the show last year in the midst of his Super 3 campaign and how quickly the racing wheels turn because Seawall line up alongside Simona Di Silvestro in a Shell V-Power Racing wildcard at this year's Repco Bathurst 1000. We're talking about Dunlop Super 2 racer for Eggleston Motorsport, Kai Allen, who joins us on the line. G'day, Kai.
G'day, guys. Thanks for having me.
No, thanks for jumping on. And mate, you're going to start the Bathurst 1000 in a couple of months. Just tell us what that feels like to hear.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So, got the call up to race with Simona as a part of the Shell V-Power Racing Team's wildcard entry. So, really, really excited. I mean, it's a bit of a shock to the system. Obviously, racing Super 2 this year, which is really cool for Eggleston Motorsport. And getting these opportunities, just absolutely unbelievable. So, yeah, massive thank you to the Shell V-Power Racing Team, and I'm really looking forward to getting a couple of test days under our belt and working with Simona and the rest of the team, and hopefully we can put some good data and stuff together and have a crack at the 1000. Can't wait.
You're showing some great form in the old supercar, of course, which is now Super 2 at the moment. For yourself, have you had a step into the Gen 3 car yet, Kai?
No, not yet, unfortunately. So I think September is going to be our first test day in the actual car. But, I'm sure I'll get some seat time between now and then. So, yeah, looking forward to that. Obviously, racing, like you said, in the old supercar in the ZB Commodore this year. A little bit different, I'm guessing, to the Gen 3 car with the aero changes and a few little things like that. So, take a while to get used to that. But, I'm sure we can, learn off the guys, Anton and Will. I'm sure they'll, help out. And, just looking forward to jumping in and see how it all goes.
It's a pretty big thing, Kai. Like, there's a lot of moving pieces to this. Obviously, Simona's a name that has a lot of attention here in Australia, and she was well-loved by fans. It's the first time that Shell V-Power Racing or Dick Johnson Racing have won a wild card at Bathurst, so there's that. You're coming into it straight out of Super 2. It's a big step. When did you first find out that this could be an opportunity for you, and just what's the process been in getting this all put together over the last couple of months, I assume?
Yeah, well, it actually comes a bit of a surprise with the super license change. So, got a call from Ben Croak saying this is what our plan is, and also said, are you joking? But he put a bit of a plan together. I think that was just before Townsville. Obviously, did Townsville, and then it was all in motion after that. Went up to the workshop last week and met the team and saw the car for the first time. So it's pretty cool seeing it, still getting put together, and it's going to be an exciting process. Once we see that done, I'm sure it feel pretty real, and see it on track for the first time in September is going to be absolutely unbelievable. So yeah, it's still a lot of moving parts at the moment. We're still working quite hard and trying to get everything ready. So yeah, I'm guessing that yeah, it's going to be a lot of work, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I've got a great team behind me, and I've got a lot of great people elsewhere as well helping me to make sure that I'm, as ready as I can be for that day to come. So yeah, it's pretty unreal, to be honest.
And sponsorship for the car guys, that's still all being finalised.
Yeah, still being finalised. So I'm pretty sure, yeah, they've got a lot of obviously partners, Shell V-Power being one of them. But yeah, we're still waiting on all that. I'm not sure when the livery is going to be launched, but yeah, I'm sure it's going to look very cool and look nice and fast. So yeah, it'd be cool to see once that all comes out, how she looks.
How's the hometown going to be with this, mate? I mean, has it been well received back home?
Yeah, definitely. It got announced this morning, and I'm actually in Mount Gambier at the moment, my
Oh, nice.
hometown. So went out to get a coffee with Mum this morning, and saw a lot of sort of nice faces, and it's just unreal to have all the support, from a local town that's quite successful. We've had a lot of names come out of here, so
Yeah.
doing the town proud, hopefully. And yeah, I've got a lot of sponsors for my Super 2 campaign as well come out of this town, so it's just cool to, reward them with something. And yeah, I'm just really looking forward to taking them on with my journey. And yeah, hopefully they can come to Bathurst and watch a lot of the guys.
It's a cool story, Kai, because Mount Gambier is a proper motor racing town, isn't it? Like the speedway's really popular. The motorbike track out there, I think, is one of Australia's best kept secrets in terms of permanent racetracks. It's a ripper little joint. There's dirt tracks, there's rallycross tracks. It's a really cool motor racing town. So it must be awesome for the town to have this level of someone like you come out of it and get a start in the 1000. That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like you said, we've got the Borderline Speedway out there, and that's just, yeah, an unreal track in itself. And then just across the road's the go-kart track where I started at Glen Burnie. So it's cool, yeah. Seen a lot of I went out there, I think it was last weekend, and popped my head out. There's a club day, so say good day to all the faces and all the people that, have helped me from the beginning of getting my first ever go-kart. Yeah, so that was pretty cool. But yeah, Mac Park as well, like you said,
Yeah.
the motorbike track, there's some a lot of cool bits and bobs around in Mount Gambier with motorsport. And yeah, it's also just got a massive backing. I think it's just one of the towns where a lot of people love watching the racing. And yeah, it's pretty cool to have myself from this town, yeah, pretty much normally representing it. It's pretty cool, and to have so much support behind me is unreal.
You ever played golf in Mount Gambier, Richard?
No, Shebeck, I'm not a golfist.
There's a couple of holes down near the lake that are on the side of a hill,
All
and
right.
if you hit it too high, the ball literally rolls down 100 meters down to the left. Am I
Nice.
telling the truth there, Kai?
Yeah. There's a yeah, the Blue Lake Golf Course, I think it's called.
That's it.
Yeah, there's a bit going on over
How do you
there.
have time to play golf, Kai? Surely you're too busy.
I'm not a golfer myself.
No, good.
Yeah, I'll drive past it every now and again and see the guys having a hit. So nah, it's pretty cool, but have to get down there one day.
No,
Mate, you certainly will. I was going to say, because that could be a good place to practice for the mountain. You pretty
well,
much got
yes.
it going on all there. Kai, the 98, where does that originate from?
Not sure, to be honest. Yeah, it looks pretty cool. So to be number 98's pretty cool. So yeah, I actually have to ask the boys myself where they've got that one from. But yeah, I mean, it's a different number to what I run, and I'm pretty sure Simona runs. So yeah, it's a bit different, but yeah, it's a pretty cool number.
Have
Yeah.
you met Simona and had a chat to Simona about this all going on?
Haven't met her in person yet. Obviously, he was on a phone call a couple of times, sent a few messages back and forth. So yeah, we've chatted, but now I haven't got to meet. So I think yeah, we'll when she comes down, I think it's in late August, early September, come to the workshop, and we'll spend a bit of time, in the car, getting the seat right, and learning this new car. So yeah, I'm sure we'll get along really well. And yeah, I'm just excited. She's such a well-known racer and so experienced. And yeah, it's gonna be cool just to see what she has to say. And it's great that I get to experience the first ever Bathurst 1000 with someone so experienced. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
No, she is a
Five.
proper racer. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, five Bathurst 1000 starts, and it's always been interesting. We've always been keen to see her in a in an outright level car, with the fullest of respect to the Nissans, probably not quite at the standard, especially at her level of experience. So to have her in a DJR car will be great. How important was Townsville, mate? It was a super weekend, first and a second in the two races, most points for the weekend, rocketed you up to second in the championship. How key was that for you, just to piece it all together in what's a very competitive Super 2 field?
Yeah, it was very, very good. So now we walked away from that weekend. I think, yeah, like I said, second in the championship. I think we rocked into it seventh or something. So yeah, that was crazy. I didn't really expect that. But yeah, had a really good weekend, nice and clean. You know, didn't have any damage, and yeah, we were up the front, which is really cool. And I was a lot of experience, like it was the first sort of yeah, time. You know, leading with such pressure from Zach Best behind me in that second race. I sort of, you know, I've had a bit of pressure. But with someone so experienced in that category and, you know, such a good driver, it was great to try and, you know, manage the tire under such load. So yeah, it took a lot away from that weekend. Even though it was great. There's a lot of things that I, you know, could have done better and all that. So yeah, wrote a lot of notes. Obviously, it was great for the team winning on the 150th round for Eggleston Motorsport. I think that was very cool. You know, they're such a well-known team, put a lot of effort into young drivers and being around that category for such a long time. So yeah, to get the round win on that and that you know, that weekend was really cool. And I think yeah, just to walk away, you know, second in the championship and puts us in a good spot for the rest of the year. So yeah, hopefully we're gonna have another good weekend at Sandown, and I'm sure that yeah, we'll be busy for the rest of the year.
And then you'll get double duties at Bathurst as well, won't you? So you'll just get more valuable seat time at that place.
Yeah, it'd be unreal. Like I said, yeah, double duty. So I think he'll be having a good sleep on Sunday night. But yeah, it's gonna be so good. You know, I raced Super 3 there last year, but with the weather and everything, we didn't get too many laps. So yeah, really looking forward. We've got, you know, two different cars, two styles, so I'll have to adapt to that, which I'm looking forward to. And yeah, just looking forward to getting a lot more experience around the mountain. It's gonna be really cool.
The development series, sorry, I should say Super 2 series, has turned into a real proper development series this year, hasn't it? There's some really good young talent coming through in Super 2, and a great battle for you guys to see who the next big thing may be.
Yeah, 100%. It's crazy the amount of talent that's come through, and you know, if you just miss the window on qualifying, you'll be down the back, which is crazy. So yeah, it's obviously gonna. I think it's gonna be a massive fight to the end for the championship. There's gonna be a lot of guys popping up here and there, and yeah, I'm really looking forward to see how we go for the rest of the season. And yeah, it's gonna be cool. So yeah, it's just great to see so many young guys come in this year, and I think a lot of guys, you know, from Porsche and 86s and all that. So having those guys with different, you know, experiences and all that makes it interesting. And yeah, I think yeah, by the end of the year, it's gonna be fierce racing, which is gonna be cool.
Hey, now I want to test your motor racing knowledge here, Kai Allen. So you're
Oh
driving
God.
for Eggleston Motorsport. Don't worry, it's not hard. You're driving for Eggleston Motorsport, and in their spare time, they are probably Australia's number one restorer of old supercars now, and they've got quite the fleet in their workshop. I know what's in their workshop. I was talking to Ben Eggleston about it in Townsville before you had your great weekend. What of those cars that they've got in there, is there one that you've had a look at and gone, oh, I'd like to have a skid behind that?
Oh, there's so many.
That's
Yeah, I spent
probably the
a spent a
right
fair
answer.
bit yeah spent a fair bit of time down at the workshop with Ben and the boys. So yeah, it's cool to see. You know, there's so much history in those cars. You know, you got some of Brocky's cars, and you know, got an Alan Grice VL there, which is just unreal. You know, it's as a race, so that's probably one of my favorites.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and then obviously you got, you know, the Super 2 cars from last year, and that obviously are like Shane Van Gisbergen's championship winner. A few things like that that are sitting in the corner. And yeah, you just look at each car and go, Jesus, this person's driven this, this person's driven that. So yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, to pick one is a bit hard, but yeah, I think yeah, probably that VL would be the coolest. Sounds good. Ben started up, I think it was late last year, and gave it a bit of rev. So that was pretty cool. So yeah, to have that sitting there, just, you know,
Nice.
in the front of the workshops, as yeah, it's a pretty cool place, to be honest. But yeah, I love
That's a very good answer. I
it.
like that.
Very good. Hey, mate, just finally before we let you go, This drive coming up for Bathurst. This is, I think I remember when we spoke to you last time that you didn't think that the supercars gig was too far away from you. Has this come just a little bit earlier than you thought, or this is pretty much on track?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably early. I don't think with the license change, it's come early, but, you know, I've got a great team behind me, great people that will make sure I'm ready to go. And yeah, I think even though, you know, this is my second year in a supercar, I think that, yeah, if I put in the work, we can hopefully go well. And yeah, it's probably a bit earlier than I imagined, but yeah, I think yes, it's going to be cool to jump in it. And yeah, especially with Simona, I think I can learn a lot off her and all that. So yeah, really just can't wait. It's going to be cool.
Certainly is, mate. Congratulations. Well done. We're really looking forward to seeing how you go up there in Bathurst and in all the other stuff that you're doing for the remainder of 2023. We wish you all the best, mate.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Kai Allen joining us here on The Grid.
There's more great motorsport stories coming next on The Grid.
All right, joining us, as he always does, for the second part of the program, Mark Walker. Hello, Mark.
Well, it's been a long time, but it's race week.
It does
feel like a while since the old TSV, doesn't it? Mm. I tell you what, Kai Allen, and I'm pretty certain I said this on the show last year after we spoke to him as well, but sometimes I sit there and I do worry for the future of our sport domestically with who the next superstar is going to be. And not necessarily from a win everything ability superstar, but from a who's going to be the package? Who's going to be the engaging, personable one that the fans love? And we default to who's the next Craig Lowndes. And Brock Feeney has done an outstanding job in that, and he is just naturally a lovely kid. But Kai Allen is right up there for mine at a very early stage of his development. He speaks really well. He's friendly. He's engaging. He answers the questions. I'm just super impressed with that kid, and I'm so pleased that someone like Dick Johnson Racing is giving him an opportunity to do this wild card, because that's exactly what a wild card at Bathurst should do, is to pair someone like Simona and bring her back, so fan favourite driver, and a young kid like Kai, who's absolutely 100% deserving of an opportunity like that across all the spectrums. He's great with the media, he's great personality, but he can steer. I think it's sensational, and we're not supposed to have favourites in the sport, but he's a ripper kid and really, really impressive young guy, so it's cool to follow his progress and follow his career.
Well, I've got a favourite, and Simona. Like, worked with Simona back 2016 and 17, and I'm a fan, really top person. And like, you'd see it at the autograph signings. You'd get girls turn up and go, "I'm here to follow you because I want to be like you one day." Mm. And the sport's missed that in the last few years. You know, one of the indelible memories I've got of Simona was that 2016 Bathurst race. She knew that she was coming down here the next year full time. And she pulled aside everyone and anyone who'd ever driven a supercar and picked their brains. Cornered Jamie Wincup at the driver's briefing. Sidled up next to drivers at all the breakfasts and lunches and anything. When they had the Friday Night Live, when they're waiting in the green room there, she went and picked their brains about everything. Probably asking the same questions, but I don't think there'd be many other drivers who'd be coming into a situation like that who'd be able to swallow their pride to an extent and go out there and ask all these questions and try and enrich their own brain with the motorsport thing that is Bathurst. So I was always very impressed with Simona from day one, and it'll be great to have her back on the mountain.
And this is what, Shebex, this is what a wild card should do. And this is what we need more of in these wild cards at Mount Panorama in the 1000, is they add meaning, don't they? Like, this is a meaningful entry. It's a great team. It's a team with a strike rate in the sport. The proven Bathurst winners, proven pole position winners there, always put pretty good cars on the racetrack there as well, even if they've had an up and down season so far. But it's a meaningful storyline. So if you're supercars, this ticks all the boxes, because you'll sell tickets off the back of this. Maybe not for Kai Allen, but I reckon Simona coming back will move a few, and it'll certainly draw some eyeballs from an international audience point of view as well for that weekend. So this is everything that a wild card for the great race should be. And I'm just I think it's a great announcement. Really, really good, cool announcement. A positive announcement in what hasn't been the most overly positive season for the sport, but to get some really positive news out, it's terrific.
It's actually a quite interesting topic and not one that we were expecting to talk about, but I'll bring it up quickly. Has supercars as a category fallen behind in regards to females in the category? Not just as drivers, but even in the garage.
No, in some areas, I think the sport does very well. You look at people like Shannon at Erebus, who basically runs the show under Barry there. The paddock's full of very, very strong women in the sport. Romy as well, from an engineering standpoint. Jess Dane at 888 basically runs their entire GT program and heavily involved in supercars. And he's a stakeholder in the team. But from a driving point of view, right now, it's sort of Simona in Formula E, and that's sort of about it, because IndyCar doesn't have a full-time female for the first time in a long time. No one looks anywhere near close in Formula One in the F1 ladder system, and it's pretty much the same here. So, you know, we've got Courtney Prince in Carrera Cup, who's probably still a couple of years away from hitting her marks there, just from an experience point of view. Yeah, it's a big challenge. So, no, I don't think they're lacking in it, but it's certainly good to see Simona back from that standpoint, for sure.
Let's have a look forward to Sydney Motorsport Park. As you said earlier, Richard, a massive weekend of categories, not just supercars, but some really good categories going around Sydney Motorsport Park, which will provide some great racing.
Well, and good fields too, Mark. The 22 GT World Challenge, 21 Super Utes, which is promising for them. 31 cars in Michelin Sprint Challenge, which is going to be hectic.
Yep.
A 1,000,001 Toyotas. So,
possibly 5,000s.
And then, their field's not massive, but it'll be racy. So that's the one letdown. But good. It's a really good support program. And Saturday strikes me as one of the better value days of car racing for this year, I would have thought, just from an overall platform and quality of racing standpoint, ending up with a supercar night race.
A lot of supercars there on Saturday. I think I'm going to have to avail myself of being in Sydney on that Saturday, because that's the day to go and watch it all, because they got the long race starting, 7 o'clock-ish, and shorter race on Sunday with line qualifying session. So you get a lot of supercar value for money on the Saturday, and I'm really looking forward to that night race. The weather looks like it'll be good. It won't be a horrendously rainy, awful night. It'll be crisp, but hey, that's winter in Australia, isn't it? So I think it should be a good day out.
The night races there have always been pretty good. It's a good vibe. It's a good atmosphere. They always do a good job with, you know, the pyro and the lighting and all of that to make it more of a show. Sunday feels like a waste of time, honestly, with tacking on that one extra race. This almost feels like it deserves to be a one race weekend, or maybe two really short sprints and then the night race on Saturday and be done with it. I don't know, but the Sunday just feels like you're hanging around for one short supercar race in the afternoon, and that's about it. I don't know.
Interesting. The good thing is that these cars haven't been really tested in light, so that'll be interesting to see how that goes. I don't know if it'll make much difference for them, but will we get any more closer to the parity situation in regards to there was a story came out today, I think, that they've done some work on the Ford engine.
Yeah,
in regards to its mapping.
So they've got the 80mm throttle body on the Mustangs now, so a bigger throttle body, which they hope will help their drivability, especially out of the slow speed corners. So they'll be able to test that. I would have thought that'll be a factor at turn 2, probably turn 8 at Sydney Motorsport Park. So, yeah, it may play a role. And this will be a circuit where they work out if the aero tweaks they've made will work or not. Like turn 1, Corporate Hill, turn 4 and 5 are all corners which rely on aero, especially at Sydney Motorsport Park. So you'll have a better understanding after this weekend, and especially after the bend a couple of weeks later, as to where the aero parity situation's at. And if the four teams are still whinging after that, well, then they've still got problems. But, that's going to be interesting. I like the fact they've reduced the compulsory pit stop requirement from 2 to 1 for the night race, because it was initially 2. And that just removed any strategic interest at all out of the race. But I think it's now just one CPS. So you've got an 80-litre fuel drop. But I wonder if there's teams that take a gamble on running two sets or running three sets of tyres in the race. So do a two-stop race regardless, whether that might be the faster way because of Sydney's notoriously high tyre deck. So I like the fact that it throws a few strategic options in, which I think in some of these fuel drop races we haven't had for the last couple of years, and the fuel drop remains now, I think, completely redundant. But I like that they've added that in. So even if it's not an all-out ball terror crashing into each other on the last lap thriller, we might get a fuel race, we might get a tyre overlap at the end. So I think it'll produce something quite interesting on Saturday night, which I like.
There should be a lot of tyre wear, really, when you think about it. It's that sort of circuit that will eat through the tyres. Like you said, aero is going to definitely play a part. But we saw the long races in Townsville. They were entertaining. It just threw up different ideas. And because there's one long race, it's not like they're going to have the long races on each day and then they figure out the strategy on day one and then repeat for day two, whatever the good strategy was. So Sunday will be a completely different playbook to what we see on Saturday. So.
And the one good thing we do know is we will get good crowds. We always do at Sydney Motorsport Park.
No, you don't.
Are you being sarcastic or?
No, it's shocking.
No, Sydney's the worst.
It's nestled
cozily between the garbage dump and a biscuit factory, and you never get the biscuit waft, do you? When was the last time you had a biscuit waft there, Richard?
No, it's been a while. There's been less waft. No, look, the night race has upped the crowds. There's no doubt. They're better. They've been better since that first one in, when was it, 2018, 17? Yeah. Feels like an age ago. They're definitely better since they've done the night racing, but the next day's always been dead.
Yes.
So, no, Sydney Motorsport Park is not a popular racetrack for spectators. I don't know why, but...
The only waft you do get sometimes is from the tip.
That's the point. Yeah, although I was told the other day that the tip is, if not closed, is now on significantly reduced tip hours. I think the tip might be full.
Mm.
So there might not be any tip smell anymore. That should be on the, if that's true, and at the race talk, let us know.
They don't have the smouldering spectator bank at turn one anymore. Has that resolved itself over the years? Has it itself out?
Yeah, I think it has.
We have smouldering cars at turn one.
It should be on the marketing bump for the racetrack, shouldn't it? Like, come to Sydney Motorsport Park, there's no tip anymore. Like, there's 5,000 people through the gate straight away that have just turned off by it. And why they haven't done a commercial deal with Arnott's just to literally just spray the smell of biscuit out from the factory rather than just not wait for chance.
That's the best thing about driving past the factory on the Westgate Freeway that makes Vegemite. Factory it is now that makes Vegemite. You get that waft of Vegemite coming across the freeway. It's beautiful.
Nice. So you'll lose that when they build that tunnel. Yeah. Anyway. Well, yeah, Sydney crowds, no, but Saturday night, better, yes.
Oh, well, save that up for next week's Hots and Knots.
Yeah, well, we'll judge it. The crucible of the power rankings, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Not much more to speak about then in regards to the supports. We've covered them, sort of.
Sprint Challenge is going to be shit hot.
It's 31 cars. It's
great. Yeah. It's such a good championship.
Written and authorised by Richard Crail for the Porsche party.
Yeah, it's not like I work for him or anything, but it's going to be fantastic. That field will be great. And honestly, GT World Challenge is actually pretty stout as well. And those cars are always pretty good around Sydney Motorsport Park, so that'll be good. And
speaking of Porsche drivers, great to see Aaron Love getting into the S5000s.
Yes, yeah, good replacement. We all like Aaron. I think what he did last year in that Cup car was pretty remarkable. And not the fact that even he came from nowhere to finish second in the championship after missing two rounds. I think his drives in that car on the Gold Coast were the better Carrera Cup drives in the series history with how he sived his way through the field. And he started to find some form in Super 2 now with a couple of really strong results last time out, a couple of podiums this year, fourth in race one in Townsville. So they're getting on top of it there at Blanchard Racing. There are some rumours, pretty stout rumours, linking that team to a wild card as well, yet to be announced. But I think with him and Timmy Blanchard as one of the drivers, so that'll be a good addition to the grid. And Aaron's a guy with a lot of pace and Yeah, he's always quick at Bathurst as well, so I'd love to see him in a main game car at Mount Panorama. He could spring some real surprises. But, yeah, it's good. He's a good addition to the field. He'll go well.
Speaking of surprise drivers, did I see that – has Jono Webb got a drive for Bathurst? Has that been announced since we were last on?
Yeah, I was just checking if it was April 1, but we're in almost in August. So, yeah, that's a thing at Premier.
I mean, I think there were a few drivers in the mix there that
obviously
had potential.
Not.
Well, I mean, clearly Jono has a relationship with Peter Zibris. They went back to when Webby owned the team and Pete owned the cars, whatnot, whatever the arrangement was there. When you look at it, Webby's decent at Bathurst. There's only six drivers on the grid this year's Bathurst 1000 that have won the race since he won it. So. Yeah. Yeah. When you look at the sort of talent pool that's available, it's probably not a bad pick if you just want a good, solid, sound driver that's got some form on the board there. He actually looks pretty fit in those photos you had with Slade Dog. You look at the other guys that were in the mix there. Matt Charter did the wild card last year, was competent, has been good in Super 2 in recent times. And I think what he sort of potentially brought to that team was team members and a bit of engineering backup and that sort of thing, which they've obviously gone for Webby's experience over whatever the other people in the mix could have brought to the party. So good on them. Good luck.
Yep.
No, fair enough. All right. So moving forward, we don't need to give tips, do we?
Well, I think it's very difficult to tip this season, isn't it? With how the variety has been at the front of the field, but it's another tick in the box for Erebus to get both of those cars competitive, but they've always had good cars at Sydney Motorsport Park. There were some replays of some of the 2020 COVID stuff on the Supercars Digital this week, and David
remember
Reynolds.
That?
I think, yeah, remember? Yeah, when we lived there and the end of 21. Yeah, so they're always good, so that'll be a big tick. And Brock Feeney, can he be Mr. Saturday for once? That's the one you want to win, isn't it? Saturday night in Sydney. So that'll be the big question mark if that's where he performs. And does Shane's little rut, you go back to Simmons Plains, he's only had two podium finishes since the start of Simmons Plains. So it's a hell of a dry spell for SVG. So he'll be looking to turn that around, and he's had priors at this place as well, but he has everywhere. And then the Ford question mark as to where they go. And how they run. But if you want to tip Chebex, because I can see that you do. Do you know, I'm going to go Andre Heimgartner for Saturday night. Strategy race, BJR very good at strategy. Pit stop race, BJR very good at pit stops, as it turns out. And Andre Heimgartner in the form of his career, and he's dragged the number 8 car all the way up the sixth place in the championship and not far behind Chaz Mostert. So I'm going to throw Andre out. I reckon they're due for a win. That'd be a great story.
Mark, did you want to give us a name for Saturday?
No real intelligence used here, but Will Brown. He's won at Sydney before. He kind of leading the championship. Minor detail. That'd be a good thing for the sport of Will Brown champion, I think.
Yep.
Well, let's back that horse home.
Yep. Yeah, okay.
I'll go for his teammate, Brody, just to cover both Erebus, because I think they'll probably have a good Saturday for sure.
Cool.
All right. F1's Shane Van Gisbergen's thing of the Red Bulls. Max Verstappen just gobbled up everybody, didn't he, on that Turkey track?
Yeah, Turkish or even Hungary.
Hungary, was it? Sorry, not Turkey.
It was Hungary, yeah, which was unfortunate.
He made them look like turkeys.
It would have been a better race. Like, would have been a better race if it was at Istanbul. Yeah, the highs and lows of Formula One racing. Saturday was a superb qualifying session, and Sunday was a rubbish race.
I'm going to save some of this for my hots and nots. Thank you, Richard.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think we can probably move on. But anticlimactic was, I think, the overview there. But good for Oscar. He had a great start and performed really, really well. So he's now showing what he's capable of and matching Lando, which is terrific. So 4 points to young Oscar Piastri. But, she was a stinker that race. Not much went on there.
33 seconds. It's half a lap around there. It's ridiculous. So, 12 wins in a row for Red Bull. Record all time in F1.
Is he literally half a second better than the rest of the field? Is he, or is the car, well, or is the package half a second better than the rest of the field every lap?
It's the package.
It's just crazy.
The frustrating thing is that even when, and you know, Toto complains about the domination, oh, it's not good for the sport, rah, 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 and yeah, it's very much pot kettle black because they did exactly the same thing for 7 years. But the one thing you did get with Mercedes was friendly fire. So you had Rosberg nipping at Hamilton all the time and putting him under pressure and beat him to a world championship once. And then every now and then you'd get brilliant Bottas pop up and do a superb job. And he was a much, much more of a match for Lewis in a dominant Mercedes than Perez has been for in a dominant Red Bull for Verstappen. So Verstappen smoked everybody, but also smoked his teammate. So that's the biggest drama of the whole thing, is that there's no, at least you don't even get that narrative of the inter-team tussle, which would have been amazing. So yeah, far from ideal. But anyway, Danny Ric did a good job. Solid. Caught up in that opening turn fracas, and they used a bit of strategy to get him into some clean air. And then he popped out back in 13th. Where he started the race, which was a really solid drive, and beat his teammate, which is all you can do.
Which, that was the question mark coming into it, was would he be able to conserve his tyres, which was one of the main challenges of that race, and he had the longest stint of anyone on the mediums, and he absolutely smoked them. So that was positive.
Yeah, it certainly was. What about the open wheelers in the States, Mark? Did we get any action from them on the weekend?
Well, IndyCar was great. Yeah.
It wasn't it?
Yeah, except if
Scotty Mac led pretty much up towards the end, did he?
Great, unless you like being beaten by Joseph Newgarden. Yeah, he's the king of the corn. So double win, but good races. And yeah, strong weekend for Scotty.
But sort of disappointing for Scott. Disappointing. He finished second. Like, this is where we're at with him.
Yeah, I know. Like,
That's not a win. Oh, come on, mate.
Two races in the weekend, and he's second and fifth in them. And you go, oh, come on, mate. He can go better than that. It's a good position to be in. But he's improved his championship position to fifth. Will Power had a great weekend, so he's pretty racy again, which is great. So, no, it's a solid weekend. They were good races. Those IndyCars suit that little bullring there in Iowa. And another really good event with a big crowd and two big concerts, and they've done a great job revitalizing that and reinterpreting what an IndyCar oval product should be, and that's superb.
I sort of had this in my hots and knots, Richard, but I'll wheel it out now. If the Iowa IndyCar race can have Ed Sheeran, what can the Bathurst 12-hour get?
Yes, that's a good question. Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, and I know where you're going with this, unfortunately, we just don't have a Roger Penske marketing budget to spend on such things.
So the Hy-Vee supermarket budget that can get Ed Sheeran along, apparently.
Exactly, correct. I think Hy-Vee supermarkets is like Coles times a billion, though. So, you know, small supermarket chain in America is a large, large empire. So they've got some money to spend on marketing, which is nice. But yeah, and who was it? Kelly Underwood? No, that's the footy commentator. Katie Underwood?
He might have been there having a bit of a yodel.
Anyway, she does the NFL Sunday Night Footy on NBC theme song. Pop American pop star singer. She was there on the Saturday concert, and Ed Sheeran on the Sunday. So yeah, good lineup.
Great lineup. Well, NASCAR,
but good racing. Yeah,
there was NASCAR.
Why does everyone hate Denny Hamlin?
It's easy target. He drives a Toyota. He kind of was in the vicinity of two Chevys that got fenced. Two Hendrick Chevys that got fenced. So he didn't necessarily do a whole lot wrong there, but Denny won the race. And and then he got booed like nothing on earth. So well done to Denny for that. And then other things, Austin Dillon wrote himself off, had a huge potato down at turn one, got out of his car, and to prove he didn't have concussion, he tried to throw his helmet at Tyler Reddick and missed. It was quite a good chuck, but he did bounce it in there. He didn't go on the full. So I think that was the lesson to be learnt there for young players.
Beautiful stuff. Hots or knots, gentlemen, let's get into them.
What do you want to start with? Hots? I've got a good list of hots this week.
Go hots.
Hot is GT World Challenge racer Mike Sheargold 6 weeks ago. had surgery for bowel cancer and will race this weekend. That is huge. So really good to see. Mike's a lovely guy. He's a big supporter of the sport. He backs some drivers in Carrera Cup. He owns some cars and puts good drivers in them. So great to see. He's a big supporter of GT Racing, Garth Walden Racing. So that's a hot. We touched on Aaron Love being in S5000. I think that's outstanding. We touched on the Sprint Challenge field. 31 cars for the second tier Porsche series is even better. I wanted to give a hot for the depth of the Antipodean talent going around, and it was all on show on the weekend. So Oscar Piastri qualifies superbly, finishes fifth. Scotty second and fifth in the two IndyCar races. Will Power gets his 69th and 70th IndyCar poles to extend his lead at the top of the all-time IndyCar pole winners list, and then finishes fifth and second in the two races in a reverse of Scotty's performance. Hunter McRae was fighting for second place. The guy he was trying to pass bumped him, basically. Hunter was more diplomatic than that, but he got stuffed and dropped back to finish fifth in Indy Lights. So that was still Indy Next. So that was still a decent point-scoring result. Jack Doohan with a well-earned win in Formula 2, which was a great drive and well overdue, and goes to Spa, where he was strong last year, next weekend. So that was a great result in F2. Christian Mansell continuing his good form in Formula 3 with P6 in the sprint race on the Saturday. And Harry Jones, sixth in Porsche Super Cup, his best ever result in that category, and continuing to gain momentum with a strong couple of weeks. So on two continents, some really strong, you know, top five contending results for the Antipodeans, which was great. And finally, I want to give a hot to the Australian motorsport media, surprisingly, because I thought the way that the news around Joe Mawson was handled last week was done with quite a lot of respect, and I think was really well done by our industry. So I was, if that was a football player, it would have been massively overblown. So I just a tip of the hat to our media for their coverage of what's a really difficult story. And I think that's a bonus for our media, a plus for our media in the way they covered that. Well done.
Like on that, I've seen this happen before where similar things happen to other drivers, and it's not necessarily someone with the profile of Joey, where, yeah, I've seen it where a bloke took some codeine tablets that you get down at the supermarket and he got sent home. And it's like, you know, it wound up being when they run the first test on it on Monday, they can see that it's a supermarket grade codeine or whatever the deal was. But these things happen in the sport. And when it happened, I've gone, shit, I'll go and check my antihistamine, because it's fairly industrial strength antihistamine with some special go fast bits in it. Like, is that good or bad? Or am I going to get done at the Motocana? So, yeah, it's something you've got to be aware of.
Yep.
Certainly do. Mark, do you want to go next?
Sure. And actually on that, and it's of no consequence to anything, but I got accepted as an entry in the Motocana at the Winton Festival of Speed. Now, that makes nothing. But here's the trick for young players, and it is an absolute game changer for motorsport moving forward. But listen to this carefully. It is cheaper to enter the Motocana than it is to pay for admission at the gate. So you get a discount ticket if you go in and do skids and handbrakes around a paddock. Can you imagine that? We're solving competitor numbers and spectator numbers at the same time. So would you like to chuck some skids today? Oh, I think I wouldn't mind that. All right, $10 off anyway. So I think we've figured out motorsport. That's hot.
Yeah.
Hot goes to R&J Batteries for extending their stay at Brad Jones Racing by a couple of years. All we need now is to Brad to sign up Pizza Hut in perpetuity.
Yes.
Triple Eight and DJR having to share a pit boom at Bathurst. Excellent. That's going to be great. They're going to have to service each other's cars. That's where those things work. So I hope it finishes in a fist fight. So that's going to be great. Alex Albon's appendix is hot. You know, when Alex had his blowout last year, he was replaced at Monza by Nyck de Vries, who was a genuine superstar, scored points in a dog of a Williams. So Dr. Helmut signed him up to replace Pierre Gasly. Dr. Helmut made a mistake. 10 rounds later, decided that he wasn't the second string Dutchman that he was looking for. Therefore, it's Alex Albon's appendix that got Danny Rick the drive in the AlphaTauri, and Danny Rick gave Yuki a bit of a toweling on the weekend. So
nice.
Thanks for that.
Good, Alex Albon's appendix. It's good logic.
You were talking about the Antipodeans there before, Richard. Jack Doohan with the win. We saw Liam Lawson clean up in the Super Formula the week before. Could we foresee a universe where we have three Aussies and a Kiwi on the Formula One grid? And then we think, this is a logic that played out a little while ago when we were looking at the viewing figures for the Australian Grand Prix, but Logan Sargeant, tail end Charlie, Mr. Nowhere in Formula One these days, he gets three home Grand Prix. Surely we'd, if we have four drivers from this region, we'd get 12 Grand Prix around here, surely.
Yeah, well, it purely on a mass basis, that adds up. Where would you have the New Zealand Grand Prix, I wonder?
It doesn't matter. It'd have, well, bring back Pukekohe. I mean, whatever.
I think the great thing about it though is if we did have three Australians and one New Zealander on the grid, Richard Quayle would have to become the lead commentator at Sky Sports, because we would
That's in knots. That's in knots.
You're not going to hear the current commentary team cheering for them, so someone has to.
Wow. You wouldn't want to be a POM this week. No, Hot goes to Mason Kelly driving a twin jet turbine powered go-kart on Uncle Rick's social channel. So go and look that up. That's good fun.
Sounds like a Kelly would do.
Yeah, that's pretty on brand.
Yeah.
Valentino Rossi winning in the GT World Challenge Europe at Misano is hot. It's certified not if you're a GT driver, because the chances of you ever winning a race again have absolutely gone down the gurgler. So sorry about that. And that's my hots for this week.
Nice.
My hots have nearly comprehensively been covered by the both of you and a couple of them, except a hot to Daniel Ricciardo for finishing 13th. I thought that was a great effort, no doubt about that. And the other hot for me was Lewis Hamilton, who, when he was fell from pole to fourth within, three or four turns in that race the other night, apologised to his crew and just basically, I'm paraphrasing, I think, but sorry, boys, I stuffed that. At least he's honest.
I'd struggle with knots this week, and I won't lie, I didn't put an enormous amount of effort into it either.
Welcome to my world.
No, well, yes, I'm taking a leaf out of your book there. The Sunday schedule at SMP from a supercar point of view, we touched on this at the top of the show.
Is this a hot or a why?
No, it's not. I don't think it's that good. If I was ticket buying public, I wouldn't spend my money on Sunday. You'd go Saturday, have a nice day, and have Sunday off with your family or your local coffee shop, or both, potentially, if that's the way you want to roll. I just don't think it's that great. Like, it's good for the support categories, don't get me wrong. They get a lot of track time, and they get a lot of races, and it's a fully packed program from 8 o'clock in the morning, and I'll come to that in a minute. From a supercar point of view, and let's be honest, you know, support categories all say, oh, but people come and watch us. They're there to see the supercars. That's the fact. It's not great. Also to that, the supercar race on Saturday will finish at about, 9:30, quarter to 10, probably, I would have thought, throwing with a couple of safety cars and, you know, a bit of all the delay at the end. So by the time, and I'm not complaining because we are lucky to do what we do, but it'd be lucky to be midnight by the time we get back to hotels and whatnot. And then the first session on Sunday is 8:30 in the morning. And that's, I think there are rules about having a more off time between going back to work, or am I thinking of airline pilots? I don't know. But
you're thinking of the real world, yeah.
That's not the first session for supercars at 8:30, is it?
No. But for those of us to supercars, it's a quick turnaround, and it's another disincentive if you're puntering. If you want to get the value out of your Sunday ticket, you've got to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning. And
I bet you Uncle Neil and Cousin Mark won't be there, right?
No, well, I guarantee you they won't be. But, you know, that's why they're on the big bucks, Shebex. But for myself and one Bradley Jones, who'll be calling S5000 for Fox and KO this weekend. It's an 8:30 a.m. Good morning, hello, and welcome to Sydney Motorsport Park. So I might not end up with Bradley because if they win Saturday night, they might not rock up.
Yeah, good point. But
you've already recorded your opener there. Put that in the can.
Just roll. You're halfway done. Yeah, halfway done. So I'm throwing that in as a knot, a standing knot to whinging Poms. For not necessarily motor racing related events, but I thought they're just whinging, and Piers Morgan can disappear, and not for and I won't criticize any other broadcast teams because that's hard, but not if you're a full-time professional broadcaster and were usurped by a bunch of kids on the weekend. Because the Sky Sports Juniors did a great job. I thought they were great, engaging. They got more out of Lewis Hamilton. And I don't know if you saw the little piece with the three Brits, with George Russell, Alex Albon, and Lando Norris. I learned more about those three drivers in that piece with the kids asking the questions than I have the entire year in the big boy coverage. So, and not for career anxiety, let's just say. With those kids doing a very, very impressive job of being Formula One TV pundits. I didn't hear the commentary. I don't know how that went, but I thought they were outstanding. So, I'd be looking over my shoulder. And that's all the knots I've got. There's a whole list of personal woes I could go through, but it's not the right platform for that. So I'll, with that, hand it over to Mark Walker.
Perspective knot would go to Team Penske if they don't put Scott McLaughlin and a NASCAR at the Brickyard.
Yes, they should have.
Ball's in your court now, champ.
They should have, shouldn't they?
And at what point does Supercar start paying championship points on a NASCAR race?
Mm. Well, but remember when the Indy 500 was around the Formula One World Championship? Yeah it could be the same.
There you go.
Yep. The situation with Targa Australia right now, they've had a falling out with Motorsport Australia. The drama there has been ongoing for a very, very long time. The events for the rest of the year, Cairns and Tasmania, have been canned. We've been assured that they'll be back next year. What sort of insurance, whether they self-insure or how they go about it, that's going to be one to watch that space. Now, I won't mention who said this on the F1 broadcast on Sunday night, as I just wouldn't want to embarrass them. But saying that, every time I've thought about this since, I've cracked up laughing. So I'll see if I can get through it without laughing. And the quote is, "It's lights out and away we go. Hamilton gets away brilliantly." And then moments later, Hamilton squandered his pole and was fourth. Like tenths of a second later.
Sorry, chaps, my fault.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Good on you, Crofty. You really blew it, didn't you? And frankly, I don't even care about the Ashes. I'm here for salty Poms. Yeah. Love it. So good. McLaren is a knot. Duping Oscar on the undercut with Lando on that first pit cycle. What's up with that, boys? Nah. That wasn't fair, was it?
I don't think it's a thing. He was the way his pace dropped off, he was never going to be there anyway. I don't think it's a thing.
He had damage anyway, but yeah, that right at that start, though, they shafted him, so that wasn't bad. And also, not to McLaren, the biggest threat to Max came from Lando on the podium when he smashed his trophy.
No, how good was that?
That's so good.
Well, it's really funny, except for the fact that it was a $45,000 trophy that took 6 months to make.
Most people just pop down to their local trophy shop and say, look, can you just give us some things? Like, no one expects a six-month, $45,000 trophy. That's where they've gone wrong.
You reckon I could make that in half an hour in a pottery class?
Go on then. Well, okay. we'll need you to do that when we have 12 Grand Prix next year. So.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll just be pumping them out of my shed.
Sending one back to the Toronto IndyCar. Knock goes to the race winner, Christian Lundgaard, who somehow won a race for Rahal's. Mm. Remember that?
Yep.
And the knock goes to him for shaving off his Moen victory lane. First of all, very average mo to start with.
Mm.
And second of all, the hygiene of having a shave in a public car park in Toronto. Just do that in the bathroom where you can clean up after yourself, champ. That's just disgusting. It's just crappy mohair everywhere. You don't need that.
Cut to the shot of the front straight just with his thin, wispy hair just blowing across an empty straight.
So Someone had to clean that up. That's and finally, on IndyCar things, Stingray Rob. He was the center of chat there on Sunday at Iowa when he wobbled out of the pits and his wheel fell off and nearly caused the mother of all accidents before he was parked. And, you know, that's bad. But what's worse is that the incident just brings attention to his name, doesn't it? You know, yep. Mr. and Mrs. Rob, what were you thinking? First name Sting, second name Ray. You know, Mr. and Mrs. Walker had decisions to make in December 1981 when they nearly called their kid Luke. But, you know, they thought better of it when he would have been Luke Skywalker in the...
in the Stingray hasn't known.
What? I'm very thankful I'm not Luke Skywalker. I mean, my father would have been Darth Vader, and by association, my unborn sister would have been Princess Leia, I guess. But
Stingray hasn't married Barb by any chance, has he?
Well, look, I Googled it, and... he's actually been named after the, not after the fish, after he's been named after the Chevy Corvette Stingray.
Yeah, yeah, true story.
That's like if I named my kid after a legendary Australian car, like a Leyland P76 or a Camaro or a Toyota Lexan Walker. Well, like, really? Come on.
My firstborn's going to be Tirana Crail, so I don't know what the problem is.
Tirana Crail. You wait till he's out there. Dropping wheels on an IndyCar track.
It's brilliant. Yeah,
good. Good on you, mate. That's great. When are you due?
Oh, yeah, well, plus or minus 2 or 5 years. Who knows?
Right, cool.
I'm not even going to try to add anything to that.
Are we doing beers on Friday night? We should have talked about this offline.
Yeah, we probably should have planned that. We'll put a post on the socials about that.
Is it cool. At a Pizza Hut?
Well, that is in the plans, I think.
Okay.
So
I'll drive really hard to get there by dinner.
Okay.
Stay tuned.
It'll be a good weekend. Looking forward to it. It's a big month, kids, because we go to Queensland Raceway next week for a Trophy Series round, and then the week after that, Speed Series, and then the week after that, the Bend Motorsport Park. We'll definitely do, for our South Australian audience, I think we'll definitely do a Friday night beers on TRT, maybe at the Bend. I know people there. We could do things.
And we're sure we'll be doing something here for Sandown.
We need to do something for Big Bad Sandown. Yes. Yeah. The question
We'll go back to Fat Bob's.
Yeah, that was bloody good. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Anyway, we'll take this offline and you can finish listening to the podcast, and we'll do our planning and let you know. Keep an eye on our socials at The Race Talk. And let us know what you want to do, basically, and we'll probably just do it.
Mark, Richard, thank you, and thank you for joining us right here on The Grid.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.